Amen. I was sharing with Pastor last night. A preacher friend of mine had told me he was somewhere where Brother Clendenin was at. So he was all sitting around. They wanted to hear what the old preacher had to say. You know, just because they knew if he talks, we don't want to miss out on what this man's got to say. And his statement to them was, and you know, you're waiting on him, I guess, to really go into some deep conversation. All he said was, if you believe prayer works, you'll do it. That was it. Amen. If you really believe it works, if you believe prayer works, you'll pray. Amen. And we know that the Bible lets us know that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Some righteous person got a hold of God. Amen. Some of God's children got his attention. Amen. You know, and I appreciate the medical field, people who put forth great effort to learn about this body, learn how to do things to help us. And, you know, I'm not one of them that I'm not going to die if I don't got to. You know, I'm not going to die just to prove a point. If a man out there could kind of keep me ticking, I want him, I don't care who taught it to him, I want him to help me. You know, I believe the Lord created that man's brain that's telling me this will help you if you'll do it, sir. He allowed my mind to understand the plumbing field. I know how to get water to it and through it in a house. Another man, he taught how this heart operates. He taught him, if you'll do this to it, it'll help it work when there's a defect in it. So I'm not going to lay and die if a man's telling me I can help you live. I'm so, by all means, sir, help me. And so I like to think that God has got a way of moving by whatever means necessary. If he needs that man to do something to my body to help it work, or if he sees fit that I think this time I'll just do the operation. Either way, I'm thankful of the creation of God. You know, folks might think, well, you know, you don't got no faith. No, I just know God created that man too. That ain't a robot working on me. God put that in that man's mind. That's a real man helping me. Amen. And I just appreciate what God does. But I do like when he does it himself, don't you? Sometimes along the way when he just says, I'll just handle this on my own. They told Jairus, listen, they no need you bothering this. There's a crowd here, this woman's. They don't need to interrupt, you know, just come on home. It's over. Don't trouble the master no more. And I can just see that daddy's head just bowed down. You know how I feel like it? Why I know? Because I'm a daddy. Amen. And if somebody told me what they told him, I feel like I know my response would have just been sadness, just sorrow, instant sorrow. Eyes welling up with tears, can't control his emotions. And then about that time, all he heard was, be not afraid, only believe. She'll be ready for you to get home when you get there, son. Get on home. Get your daughter ready to go. She'll be waiting when you get there. Amen. I can tell you, he'll move and he works when nothing else will. She started singing that song. I've heard that song way back. Grew up listening to that song. That was a refreshing to my mind. Hear that song, that there's power in prayer. Amen. If you don't ask him, then there's no guarantee you'll receive. If you don't knock, ain't no guarantee the door's going to open. Amen. If you don't seek, then no guarantee you're going to find. But there are guarantees if you do. They say, Brother Don Rich, preach that message. Shall don't mean maybe. Amen. When he put shall, that's a definitive word. That's a guarantee on God's account. Amen. I want to lean heavy on that shall tonight. Amen. Just still glad to be here. Enjoying you people. Been enjoying revival, the fellowship, just getting to talk to different ones before and after service. And, man, we're just having a good time. Amen. We're having a good time in the Lord. We're having a good time when we close out in between services, enjoying our stay. And just having a great time. My children, man, they just live in the dream. Amen. they just live in the dream. And I told them maybe today, I said, you can't hardly beat this. Family and faith. That's all we got to do this week is family and faith. Amen. You can't. That's living the dream. And, but God, we've just been enjoying our stay. Thank you for all you've done. those that have done for my children. Amen. Thank you. You know who you are. It's just done for my kids since we've been here. And, man, it just got them all excited. They love it. Amen. And, you know, all along, folks do things for my children, and I'm appreciative of it, and I do appreciate it. Amen. Thank you for what you all are doing for us. We're spoiled. I don't know what we're going to do when we get there next week. Might not be quite so wonderful. They just be saying, you just get up and preach, boy, and just get on back home. But anyway, thank you so much. God bless you for it. Let's get in here tonight and let the Lord help us. Let's go to the book of Joshua. Amen, the book of Joshua. Just been enjoying our late nights of fellowship with pastor and family. Brother Nick been in there with us. Been enjoying some good laughs together. Amen. One night we dealt with the temptation of the cookie. Amen. One night we dealt with the temptation of the donut. I don't know what awaits us. Amen. But we've been having some battles this week. Amen. With our desserts. But anyway, let's get in here. Amen. You are all right to laugh from time to time, right? The book says it doeth good like a medicine. Amen. It's good for you to be happy. Man, folks that don't laugh, they live a miserable life. I don't see how they're going to make it to heaven. Amen. Because Christian people's happy people. Amen. We enjoy this thing. They just going to be folks going to miss out on heaven over things that's just so frivolous. They were so sad and so sour and so bitter. But I'm going to tell you, I believe I'm just going to smile on my way because I know what in the world are you happy about? Even when I might not be happy about where I'm at, I can always be happy about where I'm going. Amen. Heaven going to be worth the journey. And I'm planning on going there. So I'm going to smile all the way to get there. The Lord will help me. I'm going to cry because I go through hard times. Be sad in difficult areas from time. But even in my dark places. Amen. I'm happy that it's going to get better farther on. Amen. God bless you. Chapter 3 of the book of Joshua. Let me flip over here. Amen. Verse 13. Maybe we'll just read a couple verses and we'll back up and just try to help you tonight. Amen. Joshua chapter 3, verse 13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. Verse 17 says, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. Now notice it says, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Amen. That sounds like a little bit like a Georgia term, clean over it. I jump clean over it. Amen. But I want to preach to you tonight. The Lord help me. I've preached a lot of times. It's my time of preaching. It's really slipped by me. I thought the other day, you know, some people always think that, you know, you're one of a young preacher. And I think another day, well, we're about year 16. And that's happened real fast with me. Amen, it has. And but that being said, in those years, I've preached from here, heard others preach from here, got little things jotted down. But I want to preach tonight on this thought. I'm just here for the crossing. I'm just here for the crossing. Amen. Now, this is a very familiar story to those that's been in church, those that are Bible readers. And I know sometimes that it's easy for a preacher to say it's going to be a very familiar text. And it may not be. It may not be one we spent a lot of time on. It may not be one we've really dug into. So it might not be as, you know, just because I've spent a lot of time in Joshua. Doesn't mean everybody else has. But a lot of folks, we have a somewhat of an understanding of the cross and of the Jordan. And how that God worked that miracle, and how that He came on the scene and moved, and all that went on there. But backing up just a little bit before we go on across, just maybe let's work ourselves back up to that point of what it really was that God was doing, and maybe the magnitude of it. It wasn't just, we're just going to walk across the river today. Amen. It was a mighty, mighty opportunity. Not only an opportunity, but a miracle that God was going to make available to their lives. That they didn't have to go across, and they didn't have to take a step of faith. But they did have to take a step of faith if they wanted to go across. Amen. In other words, here it is. Maybe right, maybe just clipping on to last night and going forward. Here's what I have to offer. But here's what you got to do to be able to receive the offer. And that goes for salvation. That's good for sanctification. That's good for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's good for the gifts and the callings of God. Here it is if you want it. But you're going to have to do something to receive it. But God never fails that when you and I move on that offer, there's never been a one that said he didn't hold his end of the deal. He always holds his end of the deal when he makes an offer to a person. Amen? But he made a statement that we open up in the book of Joshua back in that first chapter. He makes a statement to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Amen. One of the greatest names that ever come across the pages of the scripture. And God says he's dead. Amen. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Amen. Now can you imagine, I've referenced little parts of this when you've heard me before, I'm not sure. But can you imagine, you ever remember your first day on your job when you went there that, they didn't tell you to do the same task that you did 10 or 15 years down the road. Brother Shane had got some experience as a welder. His first day on the job, they didn't tell him to do the things that the specialists were doing. He was just getting started. They need to find out boy can weld or not. Amen. They want to feel you out. That's why they give us probationary periods on jobs a lot of times. My brother from the Air Force, when he enlisted that day and made that commitment to defend this nation, that they didn't give him a helmet that day and said, I need you to fly over to Iraq this afternoon, and overlook the field. And if there's anything needing to be handled, you just go ahead and handle it while you're over there. No, they don't do that to us. They work us to that place if that's the direction we're going. And they prepare us for those things that require our greatest ability. After that, they've trained us to do it. My brother here in the military, he's doing things now. They wouldn't have told him to do these things on his first day. Amen. They work us toward it. Well, Joshua's first day on the job, he gets told to take 2 or 3 million. And a majority of them's crybabies. Amen. To take 2 or 3 million complainers. And I just want you to walk these 2 or 3 million people across this flooded river. First day on the job. Amen. And you think sometimes our bosses are hard on us. Amen. And our employers expect a little too much out of a new hire. But God understood. This ain't no ordinary boy I'm talking to. It's sitting just an ordinary man that I'm dealing with. You know what I know that God knew about Joshua? Joshua was just as ready to work on his first day as he was his last day. Amen. Why? Because he put himself in a position that while Moses was there, he was mindful of the man of God. Amen. He learned from him. He wasn't prideful to think that I'm a young whippersnapper. I can do anything that man can do. I like Joshua's demeanor in his work. He was a warrior. Amen. He was a man that wasn't scared to pick up the tools and go to work. He wasn't scared to pick up the weaponry and get out on the battlefield. Amen. Because he knew Moses is the leader. Amen. Moses is the man in charge. You know, some people don't ever figure that out. God don't need a bunch of people sitting at the top. Amen. That causes confusion. Amen. He don't need a bunch of bosses. Amen. He just needs somebody that he can talk to. And then he needs a bunch of other people that'll listen when he talks to that person. Amen. God instituted this nation.
The same way he instituted the church. He'll put a person at the top, and then he just branches off under that in the way that he likes. And you know, that thing always works right, and it's victorious when we do it the way God wants it done. Amen. But God had watched, no doubt, Joshua. He didn't try to usurp authority over Moses. He just knew that's not my place. And if it's not my place, I don't need to try to do his job. But he watched Moses. But one thing I do like about Joshua is in one place when Moses left the tabernacle, power of God was there, that Joshua tarried a little while, longer in the presence of God. I don't know what God told him that day, and I don't know all the things that God done in his heart, but evidently it was getting him ready for one day there would be a command. I need you to do what nobody's ever done before. Amen. Moses saw a burning bush. Moses went into Egypt and done things under God's direction that nobody had ever done before. But they ain't no, Moses led them across the Red Sea. But they ain't nobody ever took them across this river. Amen. Now listen, we can go back to the 50s if we want to. We can go back far as you want to go and say, but they done it like this. Good. God helped them. I don't mean that with no disrespect. I tell you, my granddaddy, greatest man I ever knew, he's from there. He's from that era. He's from that generation. Why is this boy preaching right here in Hampton, Virginia tonight? Amen. Because that man asked me to come. But how would that man have ever given me the opportunity to come if that man didn't take an opportunity that God spoke to his heart? Amen. And said, this is what I'm trying to do. And this is the work that I'm doing. Hey, all of us is here tonight because of a decision of obedience that happened a long time ago. But I don't got to keep going back to Egypt to know how good God is. And I don't got to keep going back to the Red Sea to know how good God is. Amen. Now I know that Moses is dead in our scripture tonight, and our founding father still with us today. But listen to me. God always wants us to be going forward. God always wants us to be pointing to something new. And so he tells Joshua, I don't need you to go back across the Red Sea. I don't need you to go back and see if the flies and the locusts and the death angel will still have power in Egypt. I need you to go across this river, because the only reason Moses went to Egypt was to get them where I'm fixing to carry them to. The only reason I done what I done then is so you could finish and get them there now. Moses was working in this direction. We're never taking anybody's place, y'all. We're just helping the work finally be completed. God never put somebody here so that it is now I'm the chief in charge and that Moses doesn't matter anymore. He put Joshua there to continue the work that great man of God had started. And could I just encourage you here at Abundant Life? He's not here. Brother Shane's not here to take over and be the only man that matters now. He's finishing the vision. He's continuing the vision. So what did those people of God need to do? The same people that followed Moses. I can tell you what you will do, if you want to do it or not. If you want to cross that river, you'll follow him. You want to die in the desert? Don't. That's just Bible. You'll either follow him across it, or you'll die if you don't. Amen. But there's going to be somebody's going across that river. Brother Clinton says somebody's going to cross that river. Amen. Somebody's going to the promised land. Somebody's going to be where God wants them to be. I wouldn't even really part the mesh. I just added that part in for free. Amen. Let's go on down a little further here tonight. He said, thou and all this people, I got a job for you to do, son. Amen. And I need you to carry them across this river. So then we come to where it is that in the beginning. In part of chapter 3. Amen. Joshua's up early, it says, in the morning. And they removed from Shechem and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. Amen. All the people hadn't got the command yet, but Joshua knows God's telling me to do it. You'll never make me believe that the whole time it's going on, that there's a million voices in his mind saying, you know better than to try this. You're not the person that can do these things. Amen. And then where I want to get to where I want to talk to all of us tonight. There is a place that God wants to carry us as an individual, as a family, as a church. And I would to God that we could accomplish it as a nation. But if America never comes back to God, we should make up our mind. We will never walk away from God. America may never pray on the courthouse steps again. America may never read the Bible in the White House again. But God forbid the people of God get so caught up in the things of this world that we fall into that system. We must trust God that's telling us, I've got a place to carry you. But it got to happen my way. Got to happen my way. Amen. And so Joshua's there. Amen. They're coming to the bank of that river. Amen. And you go down, and in verse 3 it said, I'm just reading this as we go. And they commanded the people, said, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites bearing it, then shall you remove from your place and go after it. And we know that in the Old Testament, that ark representing the presence of God. Amen. That where they put it, it was a revered place. That was God's dwelling. Amen. And so what Joshua was letting them know, and God was letting them know, that I'm going to do a great work in your life. Amen. I'm going to work a miracle for the people of God. I'm going to work a miracle for the Israelites. But the first thing we've got to understand, we can't go anywhere without the leadership of God. We can't go anywhere without Him being out front of everything that we do. I'm not showing God where I'm going. God's showing us where we're going. Amen. God don't need me to show Him how to have a revival, but I sure do need God to show me how to have a revival. And so He institutes that early on. In other words, He was saying, folks, this is what's going to happen in our life. It's already a done deal. He done gave us that other side. He's done given us that other bank. Hey, some of you tonight just as good as got the baptism. You just got to get in the water. You just got to make an opportunity to go across. Hey, some of you just before a breakthrough in your spiritual life, it's already been promised to you. It's already been guaranteed by God, but you're standing on the bank wondering, but how do I get to it? How do I obtain it? How do I get to where it's at? And the first thing He says here, find yourself and line up with the will of God. Line up with the presence of God, for the presence of God will never lead you in the wrong direction. Jesus said of the Holy Ghost that it leads you in all truth. Folks, I don't know if that's right or not. Well, just lean. Do you got the baptism? You can't err when being led by the Holy Ghost. You can't go wrong when the Spirit of God is leading your heart and leading your desires. I'm talking all the way down to the minute details within your home. If you really desire God to help you know something, He'll lead you in it. All the way up to this wicked nation that we live in tonight. If we would lean back on heavy on the arm of God, people say, but America's too far gone. How in the world could we think that when He allowed them to go to Babylon and told them after 70 years be accomplished, I'm going to visit you. Hey, I'm telling you, we're still living in America. We're in prison within our own nation. We're in prison by our own people. We're in prison by our own leader. They're not a foreign land coming here and taking us captive. We've been in prison by our own authorities. But I can tell you, if we could ever get a hold of God and we could ever get serious with God again, lean heavy on the direction of God and quit bickering among the religious powers of our land and go back to the cross, start over at the cross, repent as a nation, come back to the leadership of God, He'd turn our nation back around. But here they are. They're at that bank. Amen. He lets them know, let it be a space between you and that ark. You know what He's saying? Get in a place where they don't nothing distract your vision from following God. Clear out all the things that keep hindering you. Clear out all the things that keep keeping you from being able to be honest with God. Amen. And you're going to have to be sure you keep your eyes on it all the time. Amen. You ever tried to follow somebody? I watch people do it. I've probably been guilty myself at some time or another, but I watch folks along the way be walking with somebody and be on that phone. You know what? They'll be tapping away or scrolling away or doing something, and all of a sudden that person they're following may take off down an aisle this way or may stop and go over to this direction, and they just took for granted they was headed where everybody else was going, and in a minute they'll just stop and look around, you know, and they don't know where in the world they are. You know what it was? They was distracted. They wasn't watching who was leading the path. I believe today we're so compassed with so many things in this life. We're having a hard time keeping our eyes on God, having a hard time being focused on what God wants us to do, whether it be our lives, our homes, our careers, our ministry, everything we do. You know, ministry can get in our way sometimes. We'll allow it to, but when we're following God, isn't it amazing? Those same things all fall in place the way God wants them to be. And when you don't want God to be first, you're the one that suffers. That's why you're miserable, not God. Amen. But he tells them, this is what he says in verse 4 of chapter 3. He says, that you may know the way by which you must go. This is for some of us tonight, I feel. For you have not passed this way heretofore. Oh, I've run the aisles, Brother Smith. I've jumped up and down in this building until I couldn't jump anymore. I've cried through a box of Kleenexes in one evening before. But God's saying, that's all fine and well. He never discredited anything that had been done before in their life. He's not saying my moment of salvation and conversions is not valuable. He's not saying that the first time that the Holy Ghost moved through my vessels is not worth value or not valuable. He's just saying, I'm fixing to put some of you in a place. You've never felt what you're fixing to feel. You've never known the joy that you're fixing to know. Now know this now. I'm preaching tonight. Amen. I'm only here for the cross. This is only for those that's going to go across. This is not for those that's going to stay on this bank. And it's not for those that are not going to commit to follow God. They but one way to get a deeper wall. You got to get it on that other bank over there. They but one way to get that special touch that you've been in seeking for. You got to go to the other bank. Amen. Some folks is content to sit and watch people forward, back and forth across that river, and they just say, boy, isn't this the most wonderful thing? Amen. But that backwoods talk that we talk, some folks back home said it's better felt than tell. In other words, what did one writer say? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. You know what he's saying? Why don't you just trust him and try it? Why don't you just put forth the effort and do it? My children was wanted to go to that Costco store. Amen. Sister Kayla made that available to us today. Only reason they really wanted to go, they wanted to go along. They know there would be stations in there where they give stuff away. Amen. They wanted to try out those samples. Amen. All along in there. Want to go about seeing what they were giving away. Well, the first one was stopped. It was some type of an organic meal being put into some type of an organic fruit. Amen. Down into something and blended up. It was a smoothie of some kind that they were giving everybody there to try. Well, we waited and waited on the guy to get it done. He got that thing mixed up, gave us all a little cup, walked away. I took a taste of it, you know, and then I took a little bit more just because I waited on the thing long as I did. Amen. But it wasn't worth the time. It wouldn't have been worth waiting 10 seconds over when I'd just forget organic milk. Put vitamin D milk in the thing. I don't need wheat milk and soy milk. Just put milk in the thing and let me drink it. Amen. And all these other ingredients, organic this and organic that. And when I put it in my mouth, oh, it wasn't worth my time to drink it. Amen. But then what I'm saying tonight, amen, where we're at in our walk with God, we've never been where we're about to go before. But thank God you got to put forth an effort to get to the other side. inside. I'm not wanting just a sample of it. That's why some people are miserable. They're going along getting a sample of God from time to time. Amen. They get just a little bit. You know why they give you them sample stations? They don't want you to go along and have a meal out of their samples. They want you to taste of it, walk around the store a little bit and think, you know what, before I go, I'm going to go over and get me a box of that. They're not ignorant people. They love children like mine. Oh, Daddy, could we just please get a box of that? I would that some of our children riding home from church would say, oh, God, Daddy, do you think I could get that Holy Ghost? Do you think I could get up there and cry like they were crying? Do you think, you know why? The only way they'll ever want it, amen, if they say, if that boy of mine see me come home in camouflage and I can't even get pulled in the yard trying to get my truck in park to show them a trophy of mine, you know what that makes him want to do? I want to do what Daddy's doing. If that makes him that excited, I want to go do what he's doing. Amen. And that's all fine and well. They all like to go and they wait in line to see who's next. Amen. But how much greater would it be that when I throwed my hands in the air in a church service that my children would say, I'm going to do it too. Because I've seen what happens when Daddy does that. I've seen how he gets excited when he does that in church. What I'm saying tonight is this. Joshua knew what the presence of God was like. But he was trying to tell a nation, God's got something greater for us. God's got something more powerful for us. But you got to do more than just look at the water. You got to be willing to cross the river. You've never been here before. And here they come. They come up to the Jordan. And you that read it, you know what it says. It's out of its banks at the time of harvest. It never gets any deeper than what it is right now. Never be more swift than what it is right now. Never be more dangerous than what it is right now. Amen. And why is it so often, you might think, why does God put me at such an impasse? They got to get drastic to get a move. I tell you why. Because if one man told us back home about some of the things we do for work, if it was easy, everybody'd have it. If it was easy, everybody would do it. But you know what makes these things with God so valuable? Not everybody sees it as valuable enough to work hard to get it. And to seek to get it. And to tarry to get it. Why don't the whole world got the baptism? Because the whole world don't want it. It's one reason. Amen. And the biggest reason is there's a plenty of folks that's claimed an affiliation with Christ. But they've never went that step between the two where they separate themselves from this carnal world. Amen. I know we live in a world where now, if you know, it used to be you could preach a lot of stuff and they'd just run down the aisle. Amen. One of the scariest doctrines in all the church, not in the world of church, in the holiness church is a lot of them. One of the scariest doctrines in all the world is a doctrine of sanctification. Amen. When I got to tell the world, I can't participate in that any longer. I can't be a part of that any longer. And I believe that's what Joshua was telling this people. It's available to you, but you got to get your eyes off the world. You got to get your eyes off the temptation. Get your eyes on God and follow God and God alone. And when we follow God and God alone, there ain't but one thing we can do, and that's cross the river. God's going across. The only way we go is we go with Him. Amen. So I don't know what everybody deals with. Somebody be seeking for the baptism. Oh, keep seeking. Lord, keep seeking. Wear yourself and your church out seeking. Amen. You'll get filled here in just a little bit. You'll get filled in a season coming shortly. Amen. But when they got there, they got to a river. And I can just see them looking at Joshua, Pastor, thinking, well, wouldn't it be a better time than this to go across? Wouldn't it be a more opportune time than this to go across? Why have we picked the most dangerous, deepest, fast-moving water that'll ever flow through through this channel. Why we picked now to go across? I believe the answer would have been from God, because if I take you across when it's just able that you can do it by yourself, the devil's going to say, if it had been any deeper, your God wouldn't have been enough. And if it would have been any more difficult, your God wouldn't have been enough. And some of you ask tonight, why has my night had to get this dark? Because it had to be this dark for you to remember, in my darkest hour, God was available. Why does my struggle got to be this hard? Because in your darkest moment, God's going to remind you, when you couldn't carry anymore, I carried you. Why does a river got to be this deep? For God to remind you, at the deepest stage of that river, that's where I delivered you. Because if it's deep as it gets, he takes away the enemy's grounds to try to discourage the miracle that's about to happen. Why has God made me seek so hard for the baptism? So that when you receive it, not if you receive it, because if you're seeking for it, you're going to get it. You're going to receive it. Why has he made me seek so intently? So that when you receive it, that there ain't no way that that enemy will be able to convince you that that didn't come from God. You're going to know. You seek him like he desires to be sought. You're going to know when he puts it in the basket. Amen. You're going to know when that vessel gets filled with that power from on high. Amen. But I can see him standing there. And one man would have said, man, that river's ever so many feet deep. Amen. I need some statistics of the Mississippi, Brother Nick. I could have filled them in right here tonight. Amen. He's been talking to us about that river this week. Amen. I ain't got but a night or two. I got to get this stuff on paper, email or something. Amen. But we'd have walked down to that river, and some would have said, but man, it sure is wide. And another man said, I don't know if I've ever seen it this deep before. You know what? That's the same thing you're saying. I don't know if we can get across it. I don't know if we're going to be able to get what you're talking about, Joshua. I'm going to just tell you now, they like to drove Moses crazy. Amen. Them same people like to drove Moses crazy, acting the way they did. Now, Joshua's trying to get him across a flooded river. Amen. He's got all that on his mind. All these people saying all these things. And I can just hear him all of a sudden just say, stop it. Yeah. Don't care how deep it is. Don't care how wide it is. Don't care how fast it's moving. I'm not here for statistics. I'm not here to find out how many people out of 10 are successful and seeking for a healing. I'm not here to try to find out what the local spiritual magazine's saying about a church having revival in this last hour. None of those things matter. God said I'd go over there. What are you preaching for? Because of, brother, I told my wife today, we was talking about something and something that was going on, something we had done. And I told her, all I'm really concerned about is when that comes to here, that anointing comes. Amen. I don't care how much my shoes cost. Them don't make me preach no better. I've preached in $70 or $80 pair of shoes. I'm preaching tonight in a $39 pair of shoes. I feel the same God in both of them. Amen. And I got preaching friend that wear $170 and $200 pair of shoes. I said, my whole outfit don't cost that much, man. Hardly cost that much. But that ain't what I'm in this thing for. I'm in it that when I stand up in this pulpit, I want to be cross that river. I want to know what it's like to feel the anointing of God. I've never had to been able to spend enough money to feel it. But I have found out, if I'll humbly ask him, God, when I pick up that microphone, will you anoint me? And I found that he didn't ask me, where'd the shoes come from? Who bought the suit you're wearing? What that tie you got call. Amen. Oh, he never asked me anything. Say, only request he has of me, if you'll put your foot in that water, I'll part the river. Amen. I'll carry you to the other side. And that's what I want to encourage you to do tonight. Quit worrying about how deep it is, how wide it is. And just be like Joshua, what I feel he would have said. I don't care. Gonna be cold Saturday morning, Brother Bubba. In November, I don't care. Where's my camouflage? Don't care how cold it is. Might be 12 degrees, but I'd be okay. Well, I'll get put me some hand warmers in my pocket. You want them to say, it's possibly raining. I'll be all right. Just set in the truck till it quits. You want them telling them, I don't care. Hey, someone, let's say something I'm wanting to do. I'm going to do it. And if some of you can sit all night long in front of a belt for a pair of high heels or a new sport coat all night long on Black Friday, why in the world? Every now and then, can't we just commit, Lord? I don't care what it costs. I don't care what you require of me. I'm getting ready to stop. Someone wants to come. And I can just hear Joshua say, don't care about all that. I'm just here for the crossing. Don't care about the last group that tried to go across. Don't care about really the next group that's going to try to come across. I just know God told me I can go to that other bank. And that other bank's a promise to me from God. Amen. So I want to encourage some of you tonight in this house. Don't worry about the people who failed before. You know, a lot of people coming into ministry, they struggle so hard in accepting God's direction for them because they've looked at the ones that didn't work out too good for them. And the enemy makes them think, you know, that's kind of the same path you're going to come in on. It's going to be hard for you. I don't care. How will you tell? I don't care. I didn't want to be a preacher. But I finally found out, Brother Shane, if I don't answer this call, I can't go to that bank. That's how real it got to me. Disobedience is sin. That's sin. Disobedience to what God says is sin. He told me to preach this gospel. To disobey was sin. But I was so miserable. I didn't want to be a preacher. One reason was I had preachers up one side of my family and down the other. And they all preach. Good. I thought, oh, I could never be this. I can't do it. But I remember 16 years ago. Now, our church there at home having a youth gathering, a youth conference or a youth retreat. Oh, I'm sitting there pondering that thing. Brother Doug Simons is preaching. I'm a pondering that thing. Oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be a preacher. Holy Ghost moved, gave out a message, and oh, I'm just in a battle. Oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be no preacher. I'm looking at that water. That's splashing up on my feet, so to speak. I said, no way. Lord, there's no way I can do that. Look, I want you to look how deep this water is. It's moving too fast for a boy like me. Y'all, I'm country to country people. So, you know, I can't do this. This ain't the kind of things people like me do. And I'm sitting there that night in that service. My mom, all that I've referenced, she's sitting there. She's about 70-something year old, I guess. Came 4 hours to be in a youth conference, her 70-something-year-old. She just loved God. But how it all come together, she's sitting on the bench, and for I wouldn't have had it no other way. I just ended up sitting right beside her. And, oh, Lord, one of the hardest things I ever done in all my life, I said, Mama, something along these lines, I just wanted you to be the first one I told. I'm accepting the call to preach. Well, you in now, boy, you said it. I'm scared. Now I know I get up here and bounce around and carry on. It looks like I ain't got a care in the world, but I'm scared to death. And about that time, that youth leader of my church grabbed me by the back of the head. And the Holy Ghost got on her. And the Holy Ghost spoke out and said, I have called you. And I will anoint you. In other words, son, the bank's yours. Go on across. Oh, I ain't never looked back. I said, I ain't never looked back. He told me I could have it. And I took off a running for it. Have I always done good? No. Have I always preached better than everybody else? No. But I did go to the bank that he said could be mine. I've never regretted. Hey, I've had some hard days as a preacher. I've had some difficult things to deal with as a pastor. Some of them I don't want to deal with anymore. Some I don't want to handle anymore. But I found out that water ain't deep enough to stop me. That water can't move fast enough to wash me away. Amen. It can't get deep enough that I can't get across. Because he said, if you'll follow me, when you step in the water, I'll make a way where there seemeth to be no way. Amen. Let's stand tonight all over this building. Hey, some folks here tonight that are ponder things and ponder things and ponder things in your mind. Why don't you tonight, as we begin to pray, make up your mind, I must get across the river. I can't survive on this bank. I've got to go. I don't care how deep. I don't care who's going to support me. I don't care about the things that await me afterwards. I'm just here for the cross. Would you meet me in prayer tonight? Everybody that can and will, would you meet me in prayer tonight? Just remind every doubt that comes to your mind. I don't care. I'm just here for the cross. Could we pray?
Oh, I'm going across.